Father, we appeal to you, the one that neither slumbers nor sleeps. We look to the hills. Where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And so we pray now with the words of my mouth, would the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing in your sight? And we ask that through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I was planning to begin our new series from the book of Exodus today. Exodus, if you've not read it, do yourself a favour. It is the most brilliant account of God's faithfulness. It is, without exaggeration, the gospel of the Old Testament. The book of Exodus is one long showcase of God's faithfulness to his promises, his love to his people. And all of this is displayed before the nations as he frees his people from slavery in Egypt and sets them on course towards rest in the promised land. In so many ways, the Exodus experience reveals the salvation pattern that would later be revealed in God's Messiah, the Lord Jesus. The one who frees us, not from slavery in Egypt, but something much worse, he frees us from the slavery of sin. And the one whose resurrection points us towards not rest in the promised land, but rest in the kingdom of God. But as brilliant as the book of Exodus is, and it is, and as excited as I was to begin that journey with you, and I was, on reflection, now's not the time. Given the awful circumstances of Alfie's death last week, I've decided we need a different word today. As our church lives through the experience of the harsh reality of our broken Genesis 3 world, as we wait in faith for God to reveal the new creation that lies ahead, what we need today are simple Bible truths. Simple, but not simplistic. There's a big difference. My goal today, frankly, is pretty modest. I'm afraid there's no snappy introduction, there are no fancy anecdotes, no jokes. I simply want to share with you the reassurance, comfort, and encouragement I've received this week from God's Spirit through his word. Reassurance, comfort, encouragement. Some words of assurance. We didn't read it, but in Psalm 31, King David is probably running for his life from King Saul. It's a desperate situation. And in his desperation, David preaches to himself a line that's become famous, even if you don't know where it's from. David says to himself, in the presence of the Lord, my times are in your hands. Now, at first glance, someone might understand that statement as borderline fatalistic. But it's nothing of the sort. A kind of biblical version, maybe someone would think of whatever will be, will be. It's nothing like that. My times are in your hands is a statement of deliberate trust in God's promise keeping, even when your circumstances are telling you otherwise. The practical result being, whether your circumstances are positive or not, you have the reassurance of knowing that your life is in the safest possible hands. My times are in your hands. In a different context, some of you will know the opening of Psalm 46. It makes a similar point. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. What's the result? Therefore, we won't fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. I've got to tell you, one thing I find so refreshing about God's word is the honesty There's never any pretense that things are just fine when clearly they are not. Instead, what we receive is the reassurance of God's ever-present help in trouble. Joe read to us the opening of Psalm 121. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? Notice the assumption that we need help. Where does it come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. But unlike the Israelites in Psalm 121, it's our privilege to receive ultimate reassurance. And one passage I've returned to time and again this week has been John chapter 11, where Jesus' friend Lazarus has died and he speaks with Martha. I'm sure you remember it, sister to Lazarus. She's distraught with grief and Jesus makes an incredibly bold statement. You want to be very sure when you speak this way. He says to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus doesn't say to Martha, I'll bring resurrection life. That would be true, but not true enough. He doesn't say to Martha, I know where you'll find resurrection life. Jesus promises, I am the resurrection and the life. To which he adds the necessary call to faith. Do you believe this? But since Jesus never calls anybody to faith without evidence, in love, and as a display of his power, Jesus demands Lazarus come out. It's a preview of Jesus' own resurrection, and it's a preview of the resurrection to which all will be called who put their trust in him. I could keep going, but already in just these few examples, we have a storehouse of reassurance that in God's hands will be okay, even when things are not okay. Words of reassurance, words of comfort. Writing to the Christians in the city of Corinth, the Apostle Paul writes, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Notice again, it's assumed that we will experience trouble. That's not the question this side of resurrection. But what I want to point out to you is how God comforts his people through his people. This is so practical for us. The God of all comfort, verse 4, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. What is the comfort we receive? The forgiveness of sins, the promise of resurrection, rich welcome into God's family. But before any of us get sentimental, later in this same letter, Paul will describe his experience as a messenger of the Lord Jesus. Paul would be imprisoned, flogged, beaten, stoned, shipwrecked, robbed, and more. But nevertheless, the point in verse 4 is to say that despite hardship, having received comfort from God, we are perfectly positioned to bring comfort to others. And I want you to know how thankful to God I am because I see you doing exactly this. I've seen example after example where you, as recipients of God's comfort, have then proceeded to be comfort to others in Jesus' name. Providing meals for people like the Marsdens who lost their house just a couple of weeks ago. The prayerful concern I see for people who uphold Mark and Jan Sutherland Harris, and likewise those who continue to pray that Emmanuel will be found, and the countless examples I've seen of people coming along Sophie and Will's family. And that's to say nothing of the examples I see which don't make it into our newsletter. Look, our church isn't perfect. I know that because people tell me. If you come to me in a spirit of humility, I'll listen to you tell me how we can do better. Our church isn't perfect. We're not a flashy church either. Don't pretend to be. But I'll say this. Adversity has revealed an authentic, Jesus-shaped community. One where God's Spirit is transforming people. And out of love for one another, we bring comfort as those who ourselves have received comfort from the Lord. And I want you to know, as your senior minister, I am so thankful for the work God is doing in you. I see it. But it's not just me who sees it. People with no connection to our church, many with no connection to the Lord Jesus, they've been watching you too. People have said to me this week, as if surprised, St. Jude's is amazing. You people really love each other. And so praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Which leads me briefly to a word of encouragement. Keep going. Next week, next month, next year. However long it takes, and we pray it's not long, for the Lord to reveal our Saviour, and that moment when we'll meet Him face to face, in all the strength that God gives you, keep going. Do you know, with the heavy hearts that many of us are carrying today, it would be easy and it would be understandable if we were to retreat into ourselves. But in His wisdom and His timing, as if to make sure that we keep looking beyond ourselves, it just happens to be our food drive weekend. An opportunity for us to lead our community in showing concern for the vulnerable. We heard that if you were here last week, do you remember Psalm 82, defend the cause of the weak and the fatherless? And so as those who've received comfort from God. With resurrection hope in your heart. Using the words of Hebrews 10, let's spur one another on to love and good deeds, until such time as it's the Lord's good pleasure to reveal our Saviour, the Lord Jesus. Keep going. We've heard words of reassurance from the Lord who watches over His people, the one who neither slumbers nor sleeps, the one who is the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? And we've heard words of comfort from the Father of compassion, And so as those who have received comfort, let's be those who bring comfort to others, and all the more as we see the day approaching. And we've had a word of encouragement, keep going. Keep spurring one another on to love and good deeds. But one final passage, you'll know it. It's the vision that the Apostle John is given. This is what lies ahead for those raised in Christ. Well, now, Revelation 21 is the dwelling of God with people, and he'll live with them. They'll be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. Reassurance, comfort, encouragement.